Now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of my friends at Theological College would have looked at this morning's readings and said, "Preach on something else." You might understand this point of view. In these days of our increasing awareness of women's perspectives and abilities, and personally having a wider family full of bright and capable wives and daughters, the idea that half of the population was made from Adam's rib is not one I would wish to promote. But I think if we look behind the patriarchal view they had then, there's actually a kind of tenderness and intimacy intended in two people caring for each other as one flesh. And I'm sure that tender image is what Jesus had in mind when he spoke against divorce, as he had seen it in his day. Writing someone a certificate of divorce sounds 100 times more callous than even that dastardly modern phenomenon of dumping your girlfriend or boyfriend by text. I'm sure you would never have conceived of such a thing. Mind you, it doesn't sound quite as bad as the infamous historical figure referred to in this old music hall song. Brace yourselves. "I'm Henry the Eighth, I am, I'm Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I'm getting married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone was an Henry. She never had a Billy or a Sam. I'm her eighth old man named Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am." I can see that brings back many happy memories to some of you. Well, you probably know that Henry VIII started out as a kind and gentle young man. But there's no end of documentaries these days repeating the menacing stories of his taking and disposing of his wives. Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. I think it's fair to say that Henry VIII had lost the innocence of his youth, and however well versed in romance he sometimes managed to be, his fears and his ambitions led him to be selfish and uncaring and ultimately cruel. We all know that marriages don't always work out, and try as we might, sometimes we have to let them go. That's not what Jesus was talking about when a bill of divorce could often leave the woman with no realistic prospects of support. His measure of any situation was always the measure of love. But he also expected holiness as we honor our promises to God. Now, thankfully, this gospel passage ends with a totally different story from what comes across as probably the end of a weary day. I'm sure there were lots of young mums, and Jesus would remember that Mary had also been a very young mum. But there were probably aunties and grannies, and maybe even a few dads and granddads. But Jesus' disciples forgot themselves and got lost in their own importance. "We're protecting Jesus, and he hasn't got time for you." May the good Lord protect us all from a sense of self-importance. "You don't get it still, do you?" he might have said. "Unless you become like these children, you're going to miss the kingdom of God." And there they were, thinking the kingdom of God was this great big grown-up thing, a place of important decisions about who's out and who's in, a place of names and titles where they'll finally get some respect. The children ran to Jesus joyfully. That's how we get into heaven. And they looked to him expectantly, much as we all used to look towards Christmas. And they all went up to him trustingly, because he only ever wants what's best for us. It's that which makes small children innocent. They respond to our love with love. And so, we should open our hearts in the same humble way to the God who has loved us and wanted us from before the world began. Amen.